Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. And I've got an awful lot of scripture I'm going to read, 4 pages on my notes. But I think God has something for us. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Heavenly Father, I am asking for a touch from heaven. I'm asking that your Spirit would somehow do something in the hearts of the people, that they would hear and that they would fear, and that they would understand. I am simply not interested in playing church, and I ask that you help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not teaching on Revelation, but I want to take a couple of minutes and talk about what we read. If you go to that chapter, chapter 8, you know, this starts off like this, and there's a whole lot of other stuff, a lot of bad stuff that happens. This is during the tribulation period, and God is judging the earth. God is judging all that stuff we see on TV. God is judging all that stuff they tell us is right, which we know is wrong, and all that stuff that's wrong and we know to be right. They flipped it around. God is judging. And, you know, people think that they can get away with stuff down here politically and etc., and forcing people to knuckle under and accept things that are not right. But one day Jesus is coming back, and he's going to put down all rebellion. And you can say, but, well, he's going to say, yeah, but, and his but's going to rule. His word is going to be law. All the explanations and excuses of man, and he's going to say, yeah, but I've got something here in the Word of God that says differently, and I'm king and I'm going to rule. But we're studying the temple. And it's interesting, as you read about heaven, you find things in the temple. Well, I guess the tabernacle of Moses, and later on the temple in Jerusalem and what have you. But you'll find that the things that were down here in the tabernacle and what have you, they mirror the things in heaven. We understand, and we'll get to it next week, or whenever it is the next time I preach here, we'll talk about the next piece of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant. And as we'll read later on, it says that the golden altar, which is what we're studying today, is placed right before the Ark of the Covenant. There's a veil in between. I understand that. But if you understood what we just read here in heaven, this golden altar is right before the throne of God, where God Himself sits and rules the universe. And you find a censer. A censer is something that you use to dispense or handle incense. And it mentions a lot of incense given to him. Incense is some sort of spice or something like that that's intended to be smoldered, not burnt outright, but to be put on a coal and just let there to sizzle and what have you. And it makes a smell and a smoke. We understand, I guess certain people burn incense maybe to cover up another smell they don't want. But incense is used in the house of God. But then it says that the smoke of the incense in verse 4, which came with the prayers of the saints. Well, that's just real funny. I mean, the guy, the angel or whatever, has got some little doodad. I guess it's filled with smoking or smoldering incense. And it says that the smoke rises up and God smells it, and that's fine. But then it mentions prayer. That doesn't seem like it goes, but, you know, we look at things a certain way, and God looks at things another way. And in God's eyes, when we pray, or if you want to kneel or stand or whatever, lay on the floor or pray while you're jogging or whatever, whenever you pray, the attitude of your body is irrelevant. You don't have to fold your hands or anything like that or kneel. You pray by bowing your heart and submitting to God and saying, Lord, I need your help. Again, the position of your body is completely irrelevant. Your prayer, you're asking God, you know, He's in heaven. Your prayer is pointed toward heaven. That prayer rises up to God and He hears. And it's a sweet savor to Him. Never forget that prayer is a sweet savor. Women wear perfume. They think that it smells nice and what have you. And sometimes it does. And, well, sometimes I guess it doesn't. But it's meant to be pleasing. Well, our prayer, if we pray correctly, is pleasing to God. But it also mentions in verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar, the brazen altar. We've talked about that. That symbolized Calvary, when Jesus gave His life as a sacrifice for the remission of sins. So let's move on. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. It says, and this is probably a familiar passage, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, and here it mentions it again, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. We understand a wedding gown's got a train. I'm not quite exactly sure what this is, but His glory, His majesty filled the temple. And again, the temple that we're studying down here is mirrored in heaven. Above it stood the seraphims. What's a seraphim? I have no idea. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with two. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now, they didn't say holy once and leave it at that. They said, holy, holy, holy. We say that God is a thrice holy God. We understand as Christians that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And this seraphim, angel, I have no idea what it was. To each one, he cried, holy. And again, every Christian doctrine we have in the New Testament, in some fashion, you'll find it described in the Old. There's the Trinity right there. You know, the Jews, they say the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." The Lord our God is one. 1, 2, 3. They get bent out of shape when you point that out, but oh well. But it says in verse 4, "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried." This seraphim or whatever was saying, "Holy, holy, holy," and the door, the posts of the door shook. Must have been a loud cry. And he must have been talking about a great and mighty God. That the doors and the walls and what have you, the pillars thereof, moved or shook. And the house was filled with smoke, which we just read in Revelation about smoke. And Isaiah, the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord, some kind of vision, or he was transported to heaven. I don't quite understand, but he was in the presence of God and saw God on his throne. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone." I'm a good Jew. I go to church and etc. and I try to do say my prayers and everything, but I get transported to heaven and I realize I'm undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. What is an unclean lip? Well, you know, you brush your teeth. No, it's not talking about that. Maybe you cuss too much. Or maybe you don't even cuss, but maybe you just forget God. And you talk about things as if God won't answer, as if God won't hear, as if God's not concerned. If you have to get in your car and go to the store because the kid needs diapers and you find out, ooh, I got a flat, you got to change the flat first. You know, God's concerned about that. Instead of cussing, maybe you say, "Well, Lord, I know you're going to take care of me," and etc. And, you know, but have a sense of, hey, God is with me. And hey, don't you know, Paul said that the Spirit of God dwells within you. And again, talking about the tabernacle. All of this that we're studying and everything that's in heaven lives in your heart by the Spirit of God. But he said, as he got in the presence of God, and I know I am not doing this justice, but he got in the presence of God and he realized he was all messed up. Again, he was a good Jew. We might say he was a good Christian of his day. But he realized that he just wasn't living right. Just wasn't thinking right. He didn't have an understanding of God. He just didn't live in the fear of God. God is holy. Again, thrice holy. We just don't have that mindset in our lives. Because he said, "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Again, we've mentioned that. And again, it talks about the brazen altar, which the fires thereof, they speak of Calvary. Without the brazen altar, and without Calvary, we have no hope. We're lost and dead in our sins. It's only because Jesus went to Calvary that we have an opportunity to escape hell and go to heaven. But it says that he took that coal that the seraphim did and laid it upon my mouth, he said, and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." You see, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, old way you used to live, old things you did, are passed away. And behold, all things have become new." I've said this many times. You become a Christian. Oh, no more Saturday night. You're looking forward to Sunday morning. There's a change. There's what's called the evidence of a changed life. When you become a Christian, you will stop doing those bad things and you'll not want to do them anymore. You just won't get excited about when they pass you the joint. You're going to say, no, I'm sorry, I don't want that no more. When they want to sing at the cross of the cross, where I first saw the light, man, something starts stirring in your soul. You're changed. And if there's not a change, maybe you need to run back to the altar. Because something didn't take root correctly. There's a change, and there's an evidence. You begin to bear fruit. And again, you stop doing and thinking the old ways. But again, this coal from off the altar. In other words, Calvary. You need to make a trip to Calvary. And again, your sin will be purged. And he was complaining about, man, I know I don't talk right. And I know all the family and all that stuff. And I know we just don't live right. We don't have the right mindset. But when you come in contact with Calvary, you begin to change. But then in verse 80, he said, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Probably every missionary in the world that's preached a sermon has used this passage. God is saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? The response should be, here am I, send me. But most of the time, no, God, the other guy on the other pew wants to go. We need to say yes. I'll go across the street, or I'll go on visitation, or I'll do whatever, or I'll give to missions, or what have you. God is concerned with missionary work. After all, Jesus left his throne right there with God the Father. We read it in Isaiah, right here, chapter 6. The seraphim said, holy, holy, holy. That middle holy was Jesus Christ, but he left heaven. He laid that aside. If you want to go to Philippians chapter 2 and talk about the kenosis of Christ, he put it aside, laid it aside, and came and lived among us. But he willingly went to the cross. And he calls us to take up our cross if we want to follow him. Any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Luke chapter 4, verse 13, starting there, it's a familiar passage. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus had a custom. Now this is God from heaven, remember. Had a custom of going to church. The church of that day, the synagogue on Saturday, what have you. The apostle said, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. You learn about Jesus in church. You fellowship with other believers in church. You hear a message, hopefully from God, being preached, etc. But he opened the book said to the guy, the Levite or whatever, the Kohen or whatever, said, hey, I want to read. And it turned out that the reading for that day, and he turned right to it, was from Isaiah. And we could turn and read what Isaiah said, but let's just read this account in Luke, which said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now in Isaiah it goes on, talking about the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. We understand that Jesus came once to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the gospel, that you can be forgiven of your sins based on what Jesus did on Calvary. But we understand that Jesus is coming back, not on a donkey, but on a white charger from heaven. And the horrible scenes in Revelation have to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ, and you need to be ready. And most of you listening, if you're by radio, aren't ready. You need to be ready. He's coming back. Be like Isaiah and say, well, you know, I'm just thinking and speaking the wrong things. Let me get my thoughts and my conversation right. Paul's conversation, that the way that you live, not the things necessarily that you say. But he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The poor say, I want a whole lot of other things, an Obamaphone and this and that, but you know what they need is the truth of the gospel. To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. If you're on drugs, you know somebody on drugs or whatever, Jesus can deliver. He delivers. I preached a good bit on deliverance here from behind this pulpit some time back. The recovering of sight to the blind. Yeah, miracles. God performs miracles today. But I believe also it's talking about spiritual sight. Just like Isaiah had a revelation, hey, I need to live right, I need to think right, I need to speak right. You come to Jesus and he'll have you to see things in a completely different manner. Because your ways, that's fine, but God's ways are higher than our ways. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, you can Dr. Phil all you want, but the fact of the matter is, there is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead. Jesus Christ can take care of the hurts in the heart a whole lot better than Dr. Phil ever thought about. That's a buck anyhow, and they want you to buy their materials and books and all that stuff. Psychology doesn't work. Go ahead and get mad. But Jesus Christ works. All I have to do is point to a familiar person I preached a lot about. That little maid that was taken captive by Naaman. Instead of spitting in his food and trying to poison him and cursing his name and etc., she, when he got sick, said, "Lord, please heal my captor." That turns psychology absolutely upside down and shows that it's worthless. Jesus is the answer. He's the balm in Gilead. He's the physician there. He's the answer. Quit looking anywhere else. But it says Jesus did. He stopped there talking about the first coming. Didn't mention the second coming because it just wasn't time. It was his first coming. And he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down. Could talk about which chair he sat down in. Could. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. That's where we need to be. Our eyes need to be fastened upon Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John the Baptist had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He came into that synagogue and said, Look, Isaiah said, I'm going to do all these things. And then we find, after several months or whatever of ministry, Jesus was doing exactly those things and more. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.